You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
High levels of nitrate have been found in water supplies in New Zealand, especially in rural regions such as Canterbury. These levels of nitrate can pose significant dangers, especially to children. Traditional nitrate removal methods produce carbon dioxide and other waste material. I spoke to University of Auckland Associate Professor Wei Chin Zhuang about the dangers of nitrate, his newly developed methodology, and its potential usage in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So, beginning with a broad question, what is nitrate?
It's a very good question. What is nitrate? So, nitrate, if you take a look at its chemical formula, it's NO3 and carries one negative charge. It's a nitrogen species that is sometimes used as a fertilizer for encouraging the growth of plants.
And so what makes nitrate in the water supply dangerous?
So nitrate itself is, as I just mentioned, not evil. It's a nutrient that plants need to grow. But the problem is how much we are exposed to and who is drinking it, right? So at high levels, nitrate in drinking water can interfere with how blood carries oxygen, especially in infants. So nitrate can compete with oxygen to occupy the site or hemoglobin that carries oxygen. So if infant ingested too much nitrate, and then it will cause a well-known blue baby syndrome. This is very dangerous. And there's also some growing evidence that long-term exposure to elevated nitrate may cause the risk of certain cancers and also issues during pregnancy. So just in short, a little bit of nitrate in our drinking water, less than the drinking water standards levels, might be acceptable, but too much will cause all kinds of impacts on our health. Yeah.
So how much nitrate is too much nitrate? So thinking of the water supply in New Zealand currently, how much is over the level and how much needs to be removed?
So in New Zealand currently, Taumata Aroi, is our water authority, sets New Zealand's drinking water standards. It's a very comprehensive document. It has all kinds of standards regarding chemicals and some other parameters as well. So in the document, the maximum acceptable level of nitrate is 50 milligrams per liter. So if you consider each person will ingest 2 liters of water, drinks 2 liters of water per day, then the maximum acceptable value of nitrate is about 0.1 grams of nitrate per day, per person. So that is maximum acceptable value. Of course, the lower the better. And if it is slightly higher than that, I'm not saying it's safe, but it's a short-term exposure. Just once might not be a huge concern.
Yeah. You've been working on methods at the university to remove nitrate from water. What methods have you developed?
Good question. Thank you for asking. Just to the last question that you asked, so that 50 milligrams per liter nitrate standards, the value, many countries in the world use the same value, and then it's also aligned with WHO's recommendations. I just want to say that. And regarding the methods that we have been developing at the University of Auckland to remove nitrate from our not just drinking water resource, but also waterways, or it can also be used to remove nitrate from our domestic wastewater or industrial wastewater. So to illustrate that, I want to just give you an overview of the conventional methods that we have been using to remove nitrate from our domestic wastewater or industrial wastewater, and then I'll talk a little bit about the new methods that we have been developing here at the University of Auckland. So the conventional method is called biological nitrogen removal. In the city of Auckland, for example, we have two large-scale wastewater treatment plants, Mangaryn and Rosedale. They all have this nitrogen removal units to remove nitrogen from our domestic wastewater. So we use microorganisms. So those microscopic organisms, we sometimes call them bugs, in water, small tiny bugs. So they can quote unquote inhale nitrate into their body, and then they also need to use a organic carbon to reduce nitrate. It's a technical term, but basically the nitrate is reduced to nitrogen gas. So nitrate is an ion in water, and then nitrogen gas is a gas, right? And it already makes up 78% of our atmosphere. So to convert nitrate to nitrogen gas is a safe way to remove nitrate from our wastewater, for example, or from our drinking water. So that is the conventional method, that you need to use organic carbon to feed microorganisms to allow them to reduce nitrate to nitrogen gas. And then the novel method that we have been developing, instead of using organic carbon to drive so-called nitrate reduction or denitrification, it's a big word, denitrification describes the process that nitrate is reduced to nitrogen gas. Instead of using organic carbon, we use hydrogen or elemental sulfur, these two inorganic elements to drive denitrification. So for the conventional denitrification, the end products include not only nitrogen gas, but also carbon dioxide. But for the new methods that we have been developing, the end products is either nitrogen and water if you use hydrogen, or nitrogen gas with sulfate. Sulfate is ion, but it's largely inert and is not considered dangerous to the environment or to human health. Of course, at a certain level, yeah.
So you've essentially developed a nitrate removal method that has less waste and is better for the environment. Is that correct?
That is correct, because the hydrogen and sulfur microorganisms that can reduce nitrate to nitrogen gas, they produce less what we call sludge. So they reproduce less compared to the conventional methods. So which means you end up having less sludge that needs to be dealt with. For example, you truck the sludge to a landfill, or you put the sludge into anaerobic digesters for further treatment. So less sludge is considered better in the wastewater treatment industry, for example.
I've read that you are now testing these systems in real-world trials. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Yes. So the sulfur-driven denitrification method that we have been developing, we collaborate with NIWA. And actually, we just finished a three-year research program that was funded by MBIE, and it was a NIWA-led project. And in the project, we did a laboratory test first, and then in the last year, we built a so-called pilot-scale bioreactor in Brimsby, on NIWA site. So that pilot-scale bioreactor is about 200 liters size, and it can treat several hundred liters of wastewater, just to demonstrate that this sulfur-driven denitrification works in large scale and it can be scaled up. And for hydrogen-driven denitrification, we collaborate with BECA, and we are testing and planning to test the pilot scale in the near future.
When do you hope that the these new methods can find widespread usage in the community?
Ah, very good question. On the one hand, we are doing the pilot scale testing, understanding parameters that are essential for scaling up all these systems so that we can hopefully build a large-scale plants or demonstration plants to show that these new technologies are as good as the conventional ones. But they, as I mentioned, they have some advantages, such as less sludge producing, and they do not produce carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas and some other benefits. But on the other hand, for example, the sulfur-driven denitrification, it can be modularized, and we hope that we can build a small demonstration units that can be used to treat groundwater contaminated with nitrate. So we are working on that, and just maybe in the very near future, we will have a modularized system that can be used to treat groundwater for a small community or for a small farm.
That was Associate Professor in the Civil and Environmental Engineering Department at the University of Auckland, Wei-Shin Shuang, speaking on nitrate and newly developed nitrate removal technologies.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.